Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. I'm going to give you a prophecy of the Redeemer. As Amanda just sang, the Redeemer that came to die for you and I. How many have Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm glad God loved us. Amen. I'm glad the Lord sent us a Redeemer. And tonight we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And we're going to remember how he shed his blood and gave his life for you and I. Now, don't take that lightly. God gave all so we could have everything. Bible says, though Jesus was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty, we might become rich in him. And we were bankrupt in sin. And he cleansed us with all his blood. And now we're standing right with God. Amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, you know who that serpent is? He's Satan. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, that word enmity is stronger than hatred. If you want to know what enmity is, someone has enmity, you better keep your eye on them because they want to kill you. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm going to talk to you about that. This is the first prophecy in the Bible on the coming of Christ. The very first one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for a Redeemer that you promised in the Scriptures. And I pray you'll bless tonight. I think of all those. I think of Ryan in the hospital. Please help him. And think of Pastor Dave home. I know he's real sick, Lord. Please heal his body. There's a lot of folks here that are not feeling good. Lord, help each one. And Lord, just be with all our people. Help us, Father, to come through this. We have a lot to do this week. Satan would like to hinder us from serving you. But I just pray, dear God, you'd help us to stay well and be able to serve you with all our heart and soul. Bless the preaching of your word tonight, we pray, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus, the Redeemer, promised from God in Genesis chapter 3, sent for all mankind, and as Mandy sang, Jesus came to die, and Jesus was born so he could die for all of us. Aren't you excited about that? You know, I want you to get this. There in Genesis 3:15, that was a prophecy of Christ to come. That was 4,000 years, relatively. 4,000 years before Jesus was born. See, the Old Testament covers approximately 4,000 years, and the New Testament is covered approximately 2,000 years. So we've got 6,000 years. Man's only been here for about 6,000 years. Of course, you get the truth when you go to Bethel Baptist Christian Academy, but if your kids have to go to some other school, they probably taught that they came from some monkey and that they're here. That, you know, the man's been here for billions of years. Man's not been here for billions of years. Man's only been here for 6,000 years. You say, who told you that? The Bible told me that. And I'm going to believe Bible over some professor. Amen? Well, notice, 4,000 years before Jesus was born, God told Satan, that serpent, and Adam and Eve, he was going to send a seed, send a Redeemer. And this is the first promise in the Bible about the Redeemer. Notice in verse 15, thy seed and her seed. How many see that in verse 15? I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Here begins the highway of the seed, that promised seed. And Adam had Abel, and then He was killed, and then they, but they had Seth, and then Noah. Then Noah had Shem, and then he had then down the line, bloodline through Abraham. And Abraham had the 12 tribes of Israel, and through them came that promised Messiah, that promised seed. And we're not going to turn to it to save time, but in Matthew 1:1, it gives you the generations of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1:1, down through that chapter 1, it gives you that. But I want you, while you're in Genesis, look real quickly. Look at Genesis 15. Let's think about that seed that God promised in Genesis 3:15. In Genesis 3:15, he promised a seed 4,000 years before Christ was even born. And look at Genesis 15, 5 and 6. And he brought him forth. Are you with me in Genesis 15? And it said, look now towards heaven. He's talking to Abraham. And tell the stars if thou be able to number them. By the way, you can't. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Circle that word seed in verse 5 of Genesis 15. So shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord. Father Abraham, he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Now, he had more than belief in just these little stars and stuff. He, God was going to make a big country. He actually believed in Christ, and I'll show you in just that seed that he's talking about there. First of all, turn to Romans chapter 4 and look at verses 1 through 3. We're going to Galatians, but I figure you're going there anyways. You're going to pass right by there. You might as well make a stop. Romans chapter 4, 1 through 3. Romans 4. And then we're going to go to Galatians right after that, but I want you to see something. Acts, Romans. Here we are. We're getting to it. Long ways from Genesis, wasn't it? I traveled over 4,000 years there. Now, notice in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? He's trying to stir you up for a question. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He can't be. Abraham wasn't justified by works. He can't glorify. His works can't be glorified before God. For, and then he gets scripture, because it's always scripture that counts. See, anything you do, Josh, everything has to be what says the scriptures. Remember the Bereans in the book of Acts, they always searched out the scriptures to make sure what they say and what's true. For, verse 3 of Romans 4, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and because he believed God, it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Now look over to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. How many see that in verse 16? That it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, not just to the Jewish people, but to them also which are the faith of Abraham. In other words, Jew or Gentile. Who is the father of us all. Because Abraham was the father of faith. Are you still with me? Now stay with me. We're talking about that seed that was promised back in Genesis 3:15. Look at Galatians with me real quickly. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. It's going to bring up Abraham again. Look at Galatians 3:16. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, to Abraham and the Jewish people. He saith not, and to thy seeds, not plural, as of many, but as of how many? One. And to thy, that one seed which is, see, Abraham believed on Christ to come. That seed in Genesis 15:5 was he believed there would be a Messiah. Hello? You say, well, I don't see all that. Well, God taught him and showed him. He had faith that God was going to send a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer. How many can say amen? And that's why Abraham got accounted righteousness, not because he served God, but because he had faith in Christ. It's always faith in Christ that gets people to heaven. Why? Don't leave Galatians. Don't leave Galatians. While you're there, look at verse 19. 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the, you know, the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments show us we were sinners, that we needed that God was holy and we were unholy. Wherefore the serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Well, what did verse 16 say the seed was? So when Christ was born in Bethlehem, hello, we're talking about Christmas again. Are you still with me, church? He said, you're not underneath the law no more. Christ has come. He's fulfilled the law. Now everything's in him. Hello? How many are still with me? Now they were never saved by the law anyways. But the law showed them they needed a Savior. If you keep reading over there in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. You see verse 24? To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith. Faith in that seed, the seed of Christ. And keep going. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by what? Faith. It's all faith in Christ. We're not all the children of God. People say it all the time, oh, we're all the children of God. We're not all the children. We're all a creation of God. You don't become a child of God until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And what I want you to see is this. God promised that seed in Genesis 3:15 and then kept passing the story on down. And Abraham believed. He believed in that promised seed to come. The Bible says it. Hello, are you in Genesis 3? Who was that seed that referred to? And it was talking about Abraham. That seed was not of many. It was of one seed. And then that seed was Christ. Christ hadn't been born yet. But he knew that there was going to be a Savior, a Redeemer. Are you with me? I'm sure he didn't know all the picture of Calvary and everything else. I know that. But he knew of a Savior that was going to come. And he put faith in a Messiah. And that Messiah is Christ. And so, look at verse 29. And if you be in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Can anyone? But did you see? All everything, it doesn't revolve around Abraham. Everything revolves around faith around Christ. He's just the one who led the way. How many are still with me? And so, that seed, listen, 4,000 years before Jesus was born, prophecy came forth and proclaimed a coming Redeemer would come. And the scripture, when you study the scripture, I just gave you a few quickly, it shows with plainly that Christ was that seed, that promised Redeemer. Can anyone say amen? Let me read to you Isaiah 53. He's Isaiah 53, verse 3. He's despised and rejected of men. Again, 700 years before Christ, talking about his crucifixion. He is despised and rejected of men, a man sorrow, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we're his faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Can anyone say amen? Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And and with his stripes we are healed. And Mandy, he was born to die for us. And had he not been born in Bethlehem's manger by a virgin, we couldn't be healed. We'd still be in our stripes. And they wouldn't be healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm glad he took my iniquity. Aren't you glad he took yours? That's why I was born. I told those people yesterday at the funeral. God knew Linda was going to die. Mrs. Renner. He knew she was going to die. He knew everyone was going to die. He said Adam and Eve, from now on, everyone's going to die. That's why he sent Christ. So even though dying people are going to die, and they could have hope after life, after death. Amen? Look at verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not. Jesus didn't say a word, just let him do it. Boy, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save me from endless loss. Boy, I'm glad he came. Amen. We ought to get excited about Christmas. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yeah, Christ took your place and my place. The Bible calls it, he was our propitiation. That act he did on the cross as God punished him for all our sins, it satisfied a holy, outraged God over our sin, you see. 1 John 2:1 says, and he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that exciting? He was born to die for all man's sins, everyone. It's a shame. He paid the price for all. Look up here, you got to get this. All are not going to get to heaven. Many will not go to heaven. Yet the fare has been paid. Jesus prepaid for the world so they could go to heaven and escape hell. Yet most of the world loses out, Tom, at Christmas. They just don't get it. They got the little tinsel on the tree and they got the sparkle. I'm not against that, and the lights and the bubbles and everything else. But what about that gift called Christ, which the whole season's all about? Jesus is the reason for the season. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and the Father shall be satisfied. Christ cried out, it is finished. Paid the price. Amen? Because he had poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Man, I'm glad he made intercession for me. They sing a song, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I'm so glad that Christ came. Look up here, folks. I know this might not be the best year financially for a lot of people, but Christmas got nothing to do with finances. Christmas is about God loving you and God loving me so much that he sent his only begotten son, Christ, be born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger so you and I can have eternal life. That's exciting that he would love us that much. Amen? Well, let me give you one last thought. If the Redeemer doesn't come, if Jesus is not born of a virgin and he's not born in Bethlehem, because everything he said had to be fulfilled, even the time when he said it would come. Hello? Then we have no Savior. We have no Redeemer. We have no hope, no forgiveness of sin. But I'm glad he did. Amen? Think about it. If Christ doesn't come, Brother Carey, I've got no promises of heaven. I've got no promise of eternal life. I've got no hope for future. I never again to see the loved ones that's gone on before me. I've got no sins forgiven. I've got no hope for eternal life with Christ. I've got forever looking forward to going to hell. Man, I'm glad he came. Amen. Now I want to give you this last little thought. everyone ought to get excited about Christmas. And remember we talked about Genesis 3:15? Thy seed and her seed? How many remember that? Well, and what did it say about that seed? Look at, I'm closing. Genesis 3:15. Look at Genesis 3:15. I'm going to have you turn to one more scripture after this, but I am closing. Genesis 3:15. And then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And I will put enmity, I'm in Genesis 3:15, between thee and thy woman. Are you with me? And between thy seed and her seed. By the way, it was her seed that Christ came out of. Are you with me? We talked about that seed that Abraham had faith in. I showed you in Galatians. Are you with me? It shall bruise thy head. The seed, that seed. Who did we say that seed was? So Christ is going to bruise your head, Satan. And thou shalt bruise his heel. They put nails in Jesus' feet, didn't they? On the cross. So this is a prophecy 4,000 years before Christ was born. And half of it's been fulfilled. Satan's put, I love this part. Satan put, he bruised his heel, Christ, on Calvary. But we're still waiting for Jesus to put him the head wound. What's a head wound? It's fatal. You're going to kill people, get them in the ankle. Hello? See, he arose the third day. He's risen. He's real. He's reigning. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's righteous. And one day soon he's going to return. Look at this. Oh, I love this, man. See, 4,000 years after this Genesis 3:15 was given, the first part of this prophecy was fulfilled. Calvary. Are you with me? Let me show you the last part that's going to be fulfilled. It's been going on for 6,000 years now. It's almost just about ready. That's all, folks. That's about where we are. Don't, you know what? Listen to me. Don't turn on Christ now. We're at the very end. I remember as a young man, I said, boy, I wish I could have lived in those early days of Christ. No, I didn't get to live then. But I'd have missed out on Siciliano pizza and everything else if I would have. Guidos. All the good stuff in life. Actually, that's Guido. I think they'll probably be in heaven. That's manna. Or close to it. But we're going to get to live, I believe, at the end. See, I believe we're right coming down to the end. I was talking to Dr. Al Lacey. He called me this last week. He wrote another book. They're going to mail them to us. We're getting them probably another week from now. They got one more book out. He's not doing well, but they got that book out. I was so glad. I don't know. Every time he writes one, it could always be the last one. And I was talking to him about, we were talking about the days, and he brought it up to me. I was just concerned how he was feeling and stuff. He said, preacher, I don't see America in prophecy. And I said, I don't either, Doc. I said, I've studied my Bible. I'm not saying I'm the smartest guy in the Bible, but I know a little bit about this Bible. I'm not real smart, but I know a little. I said, I never saw America. I can show you Ethiopia. I can show you Russia. I can show you Libya. By the way, I can show you the Roman Empire, revived Roman Empire in it. But I can't show you America in the end times. Not in this Bible, I can't. Now, I know some people think they can, but I don't see it. Some people think, and they could be right, I don't know. They think that New York might be Babylon, but that's beyond me, okay? I think there's another word for it. It's not Babylon. It's insanity. But he said, "Preacher, I don't see America. Something's got to happen. And there's a good chance that America is going to collapse." By the way, I thought about this because I was getting a little depressed. I don't know if you noticed, I haven't paid this the other part off yet, and I still got to build another building for before Jesus comes. Hard to build it in depression. Want to be just like God. Say, "That's what I was waiting for. I'm going to drop some money down on you now. And I'll just do it. You'll pay cash like you were obedient not to borrow." By the way, don't stop tithing. Don't stop giving. Now's not the time to stop. Now's the time to keep going and do all you can, more than you've ever can. Are you with me? And I said, and Al said, he said, "Man," he said, "I just, and Mr. Obama is the perfect guy. Like with all the countries, you know, he's got real good friends with all the countries, and he's more of a left winger, more liberal. Boy, you'd never know. We voted for George Bush 8 years ago, and I thought he was right wing, but he was about as left as everybody else. I think George Bush had two left hands, man." Well, George W. We'll see. But anyways, I really believe that you're going to see some things happen. And Obama would be the perfect guy. Mr. Obama would be the perfect guy to deal with the Antichrist. America's getting ready. America's embracing all the evil of the world. This country is going down. But we ought to be going up. We ought to be witnessing more and telling people more. Because there'll be people out there. They're out there searching. Matter of fact, there's probably more people. Brother Billy, there's probably more people now looking than ever was before. Because they know something's going on. Hello? And so, let's get excited. Let's not be depressed. Let's be impressed. Let's not do less. Let's do more. And let's, you know, listen to me. I'm preaching about the miracle birth this morning and this evening about Christ. If he can, in Romans 8:32, he says, if I gave you my only son, what else would I hold back from you? I think if he wanted, he could put a new building out there for us, paid for it. I think he can make sure you got food. I think he can make sure you got a roof over your head. Hello? And by the way, if Brother Mike, if we never get out there, what do we care? I'm just going to keep preaching here, Brother Coolidge. I mean, I would have fun preaching no matter where you put me. I don't need a new building to preach in. Listen to me. We are getting close. I didn't say this while you were talking earlier, David, but when Israel became a nation, God said that generation would not die off until Jesus came back. And they became a nation in 1948. And they got Jerusalem back in 1967. They're never going to give it back. You'll always have Jerusalem. Are you still with me? Well, I want you to see something. We saw in Genesis 3 that God promised a Redeemer, and His promise came, thy seed. And He was crucified. But praise God, how many are glad He arose? But then we said in Genesis 3:15, and it says there in 3:15, "It shall her seed, it shall bruise thy head." Who's that her seed talking about? Christ. Are you with me? Her seed, talking about Eve was the mother of all living. Are you with me? Christ came to those. How many are still with me? That seed is talking about Christ. Oh yeah, you're gonna bruise my heel, Satan, you old serpent. Well, I'm going to bruise your head. Let's just, you know what I like about the Bible? Even though I've read through it and studied it over and over, I always like looking at the back of the book. You know when you read, how many of you ever read a novel and you just couldn't wait to see what happens at the end? Look with me, and we'll just quit at this. Let's look at the back of the book and see what happens in the end. Revelation chapter 20. We'll just go to, Bobby, we'll just jump ahead and go to the back of the book and see what happens. Because one thing Christ has told us, whatever he says, always happens. And so we're at the back of the Bible, near the end of the Bible, near the end of the story of the book, Anna. And amen. And Billy, I want you to look at, I want all the people to look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw, by the way, we're not going to do it, but he comes down in verse 19. In chapter 19, verse 11, he comes down. We call that Armageddon, which is called the revelation of Christ. And he has that big battle, destroys all the army, but that's another message. I don't have time. It's already 7 o'clock. But in Revelation 19, Christ comes back. And we call that the revelation of Jesus Christ, where his foot's literally going to touch the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. And there's going to be a great earthquake. And, oh, it's going to be so exciting. And he's going to destroy all those countries that went against Israel. Are you with me? And we're going to be with him. We're going to be having brand new bodies. We'll be riding on white horses behind him. It's going to be exciting. And he's going to set up a 1,000-year kingdom. After that 1,000-year kingdom's over, now pick up in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from the heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of that dragon. Who's the dragon? It tells you. That old serpent. Oh, who was that? Who was he talking to in Genesis 3:15? The serpent? Yeah. Which is that devil and Satan. And he bound him 1,000 years. After he comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom. He says, okay, serpent, I'm sick of you. You've caused enough havoc over all these years. I'm throwing you in the pit. Amen? And he throws him in that pit for 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. And then pick up in verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose out of the prison at the end of the kingdom age, or we call it the millennium. And Satan shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. And the beloved city, I wonder if that's Jerusalem. It is Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Amen. I like putting the hurt on people. Amen. You can take the kid out of North Toledo, but you can't get the North Toledo out of the kid. Look at verse 10. You know what I'm amazed at, though, Mark? These people have been with Christ for 1,000 years. Brother Kotiver, these people that are going to the millennium from the trib, they've actually are with Christ. He's ruling and reigning, and they still fall prey to Satan. Pretty powerful. That's amazing when you think about it. Yes, he is. He was a liar from the beginning and a murderer, the Bible says in John 6. And the devil was deceived, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Uh-oh. Now he's getting his head bruised. Are you with me? And the devil that deceived him was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Man, hallelujah. We win. Amen. And then, of course, in 20:15, it talks about, and I saw a great white, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. Then all the lost people after Satan's cast in the lake of fire, then all the lost people of the world through all ages are brought up one by one before Christ, and they're cast in the lake of fire. The Bible says in verse 15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be multitudes of them. What's sad is this, and I started with this, God sent Christ from a virgin in Bethlehem so all people could go to heaven. Because see, in Matthew 25, 21, the Bible says, it says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. There's going to be multitudes on top of multitudes that die and go to hell. But that wasn't God's plan. And that's not God's will. God's will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. That's why we need to keep telling the story. Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. Jesus arose. He's coming back. We'll be talking to seniors this coming Thursday, and we're going to put our heart out again to them. And we'll make a plea. Wanda was here this morning. There's an 84-year-old lady. I think Ann Davis led us to Christ, but there's a lady that in her upper age got saved. And it doesn't matter how old or young. Christ came and was born in Bethlehem for all people. And so let's get excited. We're on the winning team. And not only that, Christmas is the gift that God wants everyone to have. God wants everyone to have that gift. Can you remember that? God wants every person that was ever born. He wants those that are living today. He wants them to have that gift. You can talk to people this week. Hey, do you have that gift that God wants to give you? What gift's that? Well, the gift of Christ. He sent him for you to, he sent him, made special arrangements for preparations and planned it way before the earth began. And my lands, he was born of a virgin so he could die for our sins, and he prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem, and Daniel said he'd be born at a certain time, and God did all kinds of things just to make sure we would have a Savior. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we could actually share with them, boy, you know what? There'd be some out there who say, you know what? I'd like to have that gift. Because the majority don't have it. Send that email out to those bikers. Send that Christmas email out to those bikers. You, Bobby, whoever's doing it, Sonia. Make sure they get it this week. Do what you can. Get it out this week. Invite them to our church services. God wants everybody to have that gift. Amen? Father, I thank you for the time we've had. Thank you for the prophecies of Christ. Prophecy of a Redeemer, prophecy of the Christmas story, how God was going to send us a Redeemer, a Savior, born in Bethlehem, of a virgin, just so we could be redeemed, that all the world, the Bible says, he came to save all the people from their sins. And Lord, I'm so thankful for Christmas. Makes me think how much you love us, how much you care. How you loved us so much that you sent your son. He was willing to come and not be born, but to be sacrificed for me and all these folk. I pray that you'll make that stay in our heart, that it would move our heart to tell others, and that we would love you more each day because of it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, deacons, would you come? We'll do the Lord's Supper right now.